Take your Bible, if will. Let's go to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 22. Y'all know me too well, too, I guess. That's part of the problem there. Some of you did raise your hand, so that's good. Acts chapter 22, if you will. We're going to begin reading, I think, sort of in the midst of the chapter, begin reading at verse 6. And then we'll go into what's going on. I don't know about y'all, but I'm hot. Anybody kind of warm? Check and see what those thermostats are on, would you? I didn't check on them this morning. I probably shouldn't have sent Lance over there. He'll turn them down no matter what they're on. If it was on 36, he'd turn it to 35. So, but anyway, Acts chapter 22, okay? Let's begin reading there. Look at verse 6. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. If you're not aware of what's going on in Acts chapter 22, in this chapter, the Apostle Paul, the man that we met in Acts chapter 9, actually before that, but as Saul, the Lord gave him a different name. But Paul in Acts chapter 22 is given an opportunity to speak and testify to the mob that wanted to kill him. And that's what's going on. He is speaking to them and he's testifying to them. And what he did is he took the opportunity to give witness to his conversion, what we might call his conversion experience. And what he does in this chapter is he recounts the life change experience he had on the Damascus Road. And he describes it to those people. And I want to just look at a little bit of it this morning, if we could, and see what happened to him. But not just so we'll know those facts, but see how it can apply to us. All right? See how it can apply to us. And I want you to notice the first thing that I see that happened to him is he was chastened. He was chastened. Chastening is something that's necessary. Now, it's not any fun. It's not enjoyable. My wife was looking for some pictures. She had an idea of doing something. And so I was going back. I had some pictures on the computer, and we were looking through them. And one of them came up, and it's a picture of probably about 8 of my grandparents' grandchildren, and one great-grandchild is in that paragraph, and this much of my dad is in that picture. Right here, this his right shoulder. And I'm in that picture. My brother's there, and some of my cousins are there. And I'm crying. I'm the only one in the picture crying. And the reason I'm crying is because of what's in my dad's hand, on his right hand, is a switch. And he said, Well, what happened? Well, as usual, I was innocent. No, I was guilty, all right? And, they said, Let's take a picture. And I said, I don't want to take a picture. And Dad said, Doesn't matter what you want. All right? So I was in the picture. I wasn't happy, but I was there, all right? I had to have a little chastening to get me there, okay? Hey, chastening is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. We see the chastening that fell upon the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9 in verse 5 when that account is first given to us. The Lord spoke to Saul at that time and he said, It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now, those pricks were given to Paul out of his own conscience. Hey, your own conscience can chasten you. You ever had that happen? You ever had the experience where you had done something wrong and you knew it was wrong And you thought, well, I got away with it. But man, your conscience began to work on you. And you couldn't be calm about it. You knew you were wrong, okay? Happened to me in science class in the 8th grade. I broke a ruler in science class. I hid the broken ruler in my desk. I thought, nobody will ever know it. And when the class dismisses, I'm out of here and it'll be okay. But then my conscience began to work on me. My conscience just began to let me have it. Now, I don't know anything that was taught the rest of the class because I was being chastened by my own conscience, being chastened about it. Hey, that's what happened to Paul. His own conscience was working on him. Hey, his conscience was working overtime on him. Can I say this to you? The reason it was because Paul was wrong. Wrong. But now Paul thought he was right. He thought he was right. He was convinced that his efforts to persecute Christians was what he was supposed to do. You got to understand, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, a strong Jew, and believed the law and adhered to that law. And he thought that what was going on now with all this talk about Jesus Christ, man, that's wrong. So he was looking for Jews who had turned to Jesus to persecute them. Hey, he was wrong and he needed chastening. He needed chastening. Can I say this to you? Men today still need chastening. We still need it. We need it because we need it to make us realize that we're sinners. We're sinners. It's not a pleasant thought. I don't know how you feel about it, but I do not like to have the realization of what a sorry bum I can be. You say, what are you talking about? Oh, you know what I'm talking about. And I don't mean me, I mean you. You know what you are. Hey, man's way, man's method, man's desires, all of them are tarnished because we're sinners. We're sinners. We came into this world. We were born sinners. We were born with a sin nature. Nobody had to teach you how to sin. Nobody had to do that. Nobody had to come along and warn you. Now look, this is the way you tell a lie. Nobody told you that. You instinctively knew how to do it. You knew how to hide when you were doing what you weren't supposed to be doing. You knew how to do that. Nobody taught you. Nobody instructed you. You just knew how to do it. Why? Because we were born sinners. We have that nature. Hey, but the truth is, you and I need to come face to face with that fact. We need to be confronted with it, all right? Because you're not okay in such a condition. You need to be confronted with the danger that you're in because we're sinners. You're a sinner. So Paul, the first thing we see on that road to Damascus, he was chastened. But not only that, he was challenged. He was challenged. Look at verse 10. You still have your Bible open there? Acts 22. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? I said, what shall I do? Paul has been chastened, and he realizes, okay, I'm wrong. So he's challenged about what he's going to do about it, all right? You see, what are you going to do about your condition? What are you going to do about it? You have a choice. Hey, when you're chastened, you have a choice to make. Remember the picture? My dad's arm, me crying, everybody else okay. They didn't care if I was crying. They were my cousins, all right? They didn't care. Said, man, he got the whipping, we didn't, so it's not our problem, it's his problem. And but, hey, I had a decision. I had a decision to make when chastened. Now, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I'm in the wrong. You said, well, it was obvious you cried. Yeah, but that wasn't a decision. The decision was, am I going to get over it and go on and live right and do right? Or am I going to harden my heart? Am I going to rebel? You see, that's what happens to men. We make a choice when we're chasing. Some people, when they're chasing, they rebel against that chastening. They rebel against it. My cousin, I'm going to keep it in the family this morning, all right? My cousin one time was, he got aggravated about something. I don't remember now what, but there was a concrete cement porch, and he walked over and he bumped his head on that porch because he was mad. And my uncle told him to quit, and he did it again. So my uncle spanked him and said, "Don't do it again." My cousin went right back over there and did it again. He said, what'd your uncle do? Well, he just gave up. Oh, no, you don't know my uncle. My uncle took him, whooped him again. My dad used to tell this story, and he said, by now I was feeling sorry for the little fella, you know, all right? But man, it's just stubbornness in him. He went back and did it again. And he got another spanking. What did he do then? He thought, might ought to quit that, all right? Said, both ends are beginning to get very uncomfortable, all right? Hey, listen, here's our problem. Men, we rebel against chastening sometimes. Some people rebel against the chastening hand of God. Hey, we're wrong. We know we're wrong. But we're not going to get right. Hey, you've been challenged. What are you going to do about it, all right? Are you going to continue on the same way, or will you do something different? Hey, the truth of the matter is, when we're confronted with the fact that we're a sinner, here's the question. Will you accept the payment made by Jesus Christ on Calvary? Are you going to say, I'm just going to do better and I'll earn it myself? A lot of people that way. So many today are attempting the impossible. They're attempting the absolute impossible. They have the crazy idea that they can make it to heaven through their own efforts. It's, you know, if I can just be good enough, if I can just do enough good deeds, then I'll deserve to go to heaven. God won't be able to refuse me an entrance into heaven if I'll just be good enough and do enough good deeds. Hey, listen, as I heard somebody say a long time ago, it's not good theology, but hey, you don't have a snowball's chance where the booger man lives to making it. You don't have a chance. You can't get there on your own. Hey, the truth of the matter is, God's chastening is to make us realize sometimes I am a sinner, but then I'm challenged. What am I going to do about it? Am I going to continue on, or am I going to just say, well, I'll clean myself up, I'll act better, I'll do better, or are you going to trust Christ? Are you going to trust Christ? You're going to trust the payment that Jesus Christ made when he went to the cross. He took our sins, he bore our sins in his body on that tree. It's your choice. That's the challenge. So what are you going to do? Paul said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Hey, then I want you to see this. Hey, he was chastened. He was challenged. But praise God, he was changed. He was changed. Now I want you to see verse 11. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came unto Damascus. He said, here I am. Paul was changed. Paul went from being the guy that did his own thing when he wanted to, the way he wanted to. All of a sudden, he was helpless. He went from being independent to totally dependent on somebody else. Totally dependent on somebody else. Hey, you say, well, that never happened to me. Well, if you were born again, it did. Hey, when that individual is born again, you ought to go from your control to being under the control of the Holy Spirit of God. Hey, I'm not running the show anymore. We like that. we like to think, I'm a man, I can stand on my own feet, you know. I'm an individual and I can do what I want to do and I can make my decisions, I'll make my way. I don't need anybody's help. That's not me. And I tell you what, I'm not in control anymore. I'm not supposed to be in control anymore. The Lord, when you got saved, the Lord gave you the Holy Spirit. He moved into your life. He moved into you. And He's the one that is supposed to now be in control. It's no longer me doing my thing. All right? It's God leading and guiding me along through life. Hey, for the child of God, it's not my will, but thine be done. Thine be done. Hey, I'm walking a different road. All right? Why? Well, I've been changed. I've been changed. Something happened to me. Something happened to me. Hey, that's a good thing. Good thing. Been changed. You are not to be the same person you were before you trusted Christ as your Savior. Your Bible, well, I hope your Bible does. My Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Hey, I'm not the same fella I was before. Now, I'll remind you, the Apostle Paul was a Pharisee. Pharisee. Before he got saved, he was a Pharisee. You say, well, what does that mean? That means if you were to have taken his life and looked at it, in many, many ways, it would have been very difficult for you to have found fault with him. Now, a lot of Pharisees, the fault to find with them is they thought they were better than everybody else. All right? But man, just living the life that they lived, it was a life that was obedient to the Scriptures. It wasn't a terrible life. Hey, I got saved when I was 9 years old. I didn't give up drinking when I got saved. Because the only thing I'd ever drunk was, I guess the strongest thing I'd ever drank was Mountain Dew. And that was the yellow kind you can get in a pop bottle, all right? Not the kind that's made in the hills of Tennessee, all right? I mean, that's the strongest thing I'd ever had to drink. I never drank anything. I didn't give up dancing and staying out all night. God help us, I was only 9 years old. I'd never done that, all right? And I didn't give up cursing. Didn't have to. Because I hadn't been cursing. You say, why not? Because I had a mama and a daddy that had a belt. That's why. And they used it to keep me in line. But I'll tell you this, God changed me. God changed me. God changed the Apostle Paul. God changed the Apostle Paul. Hey, he had a new plan for his life. He had a new purpose for his life. He had a new place, and he had a new partner. He wasn't going through life by himself anymore. He had the Holy Spirit of God in him. When you got saved, God did the same thing for you. He changed your plan. Now, whether or not you've adopted his plan, that's your problem. That's up to you. He had a new purpose for you. He had a new partner for you. The Holy Spirit living in you. There to guide you and direct you as you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit of God. There He is. Hey, that should have happened to you when you got saved. Hey, man, God changed Paul. I love that part of being changed. I like to see it when God changes a person when they get saved. I like to see that change. Sometimes it's almost instantaneous. But sometimes you see it over a period of weeks as God works on them. God takes care of them. God leads them along. Songwriter said, in shady green pastures so rich and so sweet, God leads His dear children along. Where the waters cool flow bathes the weary one's feet, God leads His dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Now, some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Hey, God changes people. He changes. He changed Paul. He changed Paul so much that when other Christians got word that he was coming, they go, I think I'm leaving. But then somebody said, no, calm down. God's done a work in him. They marveled at what happened to him. Hey, he was changed. Hey, he had been chastened because he needed to be chastened. He was challenged. He accepted Christ, and God changed him. But then I want you to see this. He was chosen. He was chosen. Look down in verse 21, would you? Verse 21. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. And he, that he is God. And he, God, said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Unto the Gentiles. Look, you got to understand something, okay? When we read the New Testament, oftentimes we don't grasp this fact. There were a lot of those Jews and maybe even some of those original disciples, you know, those 12. Remember when God sent them out first, he said, you go to the house of Israel. He said, you go to the house of Israel. You go to the Jew. And that's where you're to go to. But now he's telling Paul, hey, Paul, you go to the Gentiles. See, a lot of those Jews didn't believe a Gentile ought to be in heaven. They didn't have no use for Gentiles. Had no use for them whatsoever and didn't think they were going to get to heaven. Didn't think they ought to be told about what God could do. But God told Paul, he said, look, I chose you to be the apostle unto the Gentiles. And that's what he became. Just think about what he was chosen to do. Think about it. He turned from his own people. In some of his writings, Paul said, my prayer to God is for Israel is that they might be saved. He said, I'm willing to be accursed that my people would get saved. But God says, God, I've chosen Paul, I've chosen you. He said, you're not going to go to the Jews, your own people. Instead, you're going to go to the Gentiles. And you're going to take the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to them. He was chosen for that purpose. On foot, by boat, by whatever means. Occasionally maybe riding a donkey or a horse. But man, at Paul, he traveled all around the Mediterranean. All around the Mediterranean Sea working, witnessing, planting churches. I mean, that was what he did. All to the Gentiles. He up into what we now know as Turkey, over into what we now know as Greece. He went, and it was all for the business of preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the interesting thing is, if you read that, he would usually go into the synagogue until they'd throw him out, and then he'd preach, all right? But he still had a heart for his own people. But he went to those Gentiles. God chose him for that. God chose him. Hey, a wonderful thing to be chosen. How many of you here are, and you don't have to be ashamed, you don't, and it's not being proud, but you're a pretty good athlete. And anybody like you, you're a pretty good athlete, all right? A few of you, good, okay. When I was a kid, I wasn't a good athlete. I know that shocked you because you see the wonderful shape I'm in today and probably think, I bet that guy was a great athlete, you know. Well, when I was a kid, man, I wasn't. I'd never played anything. I was the guy that when they were choosing teams, it got down between me and another reject. And usually the other reject was chosen. And then they'll get me and say, all right, come on. Such enthusiasm. It bred optimism. It made you say, yes, I'm glad I'm on your team. Hey, I wasn't the first guy chose. I can relate to those kids that see everybody else get chosen. And they say, okay, you. I know. But I'll tell you something. You've been chosen today. You've been chosen. God chose you. God chose you. You said, what in the world are you talking about? I'm talking about God chose you. You said, I don't believe it. Good. Let's go to John 15, would you? John chapter 15. See, God chose the Apostle Paul. Maybe you thought, and you're hearing that, said, boy, it'd been a great thing to be chosen by God. Well, good. Good news. You've been chosen by God, too. Look in John chapter 15, if you will. Look down in verse 16. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. If you have a red letter edition Bible, these words are in red. Verse 16, he said, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. You get that? He said, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Drop down to verse 19. If ye were of the world would love his own, but because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. You just think what a privilege it is to be chosen to work with the King of Kings. Remember in those days in school or wherever, and they were choosing teams to play ball, and you were hoping, and sometimes you're looking as they're chosen, you go, man, I hope I'm on that team, because they're going to win. And when you got chosen by you thought, all right, I'm going to win. Sure enough, your team lost. But you thought, I'm on the winning side. Well, I got news for you. I am on the winning side because I've been chosen by the King of Kings. And God has chosen us. Hey, look, he's chosen you. First of all, he chose to die for you. He chose to die for you. You said, didn't have any choice. Oh, yes, he did. But he chose to die for you. Chose to die for you. He chose to take the abuse. He chose to take the suffering that you and I deserve. He chose to die for you. He chose then to offer you salvation as a free gift. That was his choice. I'll offer it to you free. He didn't have to do that. He could have said, all right, I paid for it, and you're going to have to do something to earn it. But he didn't do that. Free gift. He said, let every man come to the water of life and freely drink. He chose to give you eternal life if you'd come to him. And you know what? As he says here in John 15, he said, I've chosen you. He said, I've chosen you to work with me. I've made a choice. He said, I'm going to choose you. If you'll get involved there, you're on the winning side. You're on the winning side. Now, I'll be honest with you, it doesn't always look like that's going to be the side that wins. The world hates God. And they still hate him. They're going to hate you if you live for him. But I guarantee you get on that side. You're on the winning side. You're on the winning side. Hey, he said, I've chosen you. I want to go back, if you will, to verse 16 in John 15. He said, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Hey, I just ask you this morning, are you producing what God chose you to produce? Are you producing what God chose you to produce? If you're here this morning, you've trusted Christ as your Savior. If you're here today and you can truthfully say, I remember the day I personally called upon the Lord, asked him to forgive myself for being a sinner and asked him to save my soul. If you've got that testimony, then God chose you to go out and reach other people. God chose you for that purpose. That's what he chose you. He said, I want you to produce some fruit. Are you producing that fruit? I'm not a preacher. I didn't say you're a preacher. I didn't say you're going to get up on the platform and preach. But he chose you to produce fruit. He made that choice for you, all right? Hey, that day on the road to Damascus, God did all of that for Paul. And God picked him. God picked you. I wish this morning I had enough voice to sing these words that says, that day at Calvary, He changed my history. He gave me a new outlook on life. Now I can conquer the sin and the strife the devil throws at me along this journey. Oh, what a change happened that day at Calvary. You see, God took me to Calvary when I was a 9-year-old boy. And I trusted Him as my Savior. I didn't get out on that old dusty road. That's not my experience. I wasn't on the dusty road when I had that experience of salvation. I was at First Baptist Church, Tice, Florida. 9-year-old kid under conviction, had been under conviction, seemed like for years, but it was just a few weeks. God brought me to that place, and I trusted Him. Hey, I've been with folks when they were taken to Calvary in their living room. In their living room. God saved them right there. I remember Brother Wilson called me to come by his house, and I went by to see him. I can still see that table we sat down at. He sat across from me. And I began to open the scriptures to him. It took the death of his grandson to bring him to the point where he is willing to get saved. Never forget it. And he called on the Lord that day to save him. Oh, what a blessing. What a change came upon him. What a change. Hey, where was it for you? Where was it? Where were you when you trusted Christ? So, preacher, I'm not sure. Maybe this ought to be the place. Maybe this ought to be the place. Maybe today ought to be the day. Maybe the truth of the matter is you had a head knowledge, you knew Jesus died, you tried to be a good person, and you are a good person, but you never trusted His Son to save your soul. Would you do it today? Would you do it today? Man, He can change you. Don't put it off. Turn to Him, trust Him. Maybe you're here this morning, you said, preacher, I did take the challenge and I did call on Him, but I've sure resisted what He wanted to do in me. Quit resisting. Let Him have His way in your life. He gave you a new partner in the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit deals with you about things. Hey, sometimes He deals with you when you're here in church and you hear the preaching of the Word of God and He points out some places in your life and He says, hey, right there, you're wrong and you need to get it right. You need to get it right. Hey, you know what? You need to listen to Him. You need to listen to that new partner. You need to walk this aisle this morning. Maybe as God's pointed something in your life and said, that needs to be taken care of. Hey, you've not been faithful to me. You've not been obedient to me. That needs to be taken care of. You need to take care of it today. Just a moment, we're going to sing the invitation hymn. We're going to give you that opportunity to do what God's dealt with you about. Now, what are you going to do? You see, I believe God challenges us a lot along the way. And it's, are you going to do what I want you to do, or are you going to do what you want to do? Paul said, Lord, I'm all in. I'm all in. What are you going to do today? Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed? Our Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for the Word of God. We thank You this morning for the experience that Paul related here in Acts chapter 22 and how he testified and witnessed to that crowd that wanted to take his life. And Lord, what he told them was how You had saved his soul, how You had changed him and You had called him. Lord, I pray that You'd deal with each one of us this morning. We'd consider our own self and our own condition. Lord, maybe You're dealing with us. Maybe there's somebody here, Lord, who's never trusted You as their Savior. But You're calling them this morning, asking them to come. Calling upon them, asking them to trust You. Lord, would You give them the courage to step out, walk down this aisle, meet me here at the front and say, preacher, I want to trust Christ. Lord, help them to do that. Give them the courage to come. Lord, maybe there's a Christian here. that you're dealing with about their sin, their choices in life. Lord, would you bring conviction upon them? Help them to do what you want and to stop doing what they want. Lord, use invitation for your honor and your glory, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We sing this morning, page 381, Jesus is calling. He's tenderly calling.